We're going to be in John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. And if you're wondering what is in my ears, these are not earplugs. These are earbuds. I did this so you could hear my voice and not the things surrounding me. I had to have a talk with the nursery director of the Fenner household and asked her to please keep the kids down as much as possible during the message this morning. But we know that's probably not going to be that possible. So you just bear with me. That's why I put these earphones in my ears so you can hear my voice and not necessarily surround the things around me. So this morning we're going to be in John chapter 14, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 6. And this morning I want to preach on a thought, hope for the hurting. Hope for the hurting. And if there's ever a time that we need hope and we need encouragement, we need peace, I believe that's right now. I believe that's at this time and with Mountain City Baptist Church and in the world we live in today. Church, we're going through a rough time right now. But even in the midst of what we're going through, we have hope. And we're going to see that we have hope in Jesus. That's where our hope lies. So we're going to be in John chapter 14 this morning. John 14, beginning in verse number 1. I'm going to read through verse number 6. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. So as we get into the message, the first thing I want to point out this morning in our passage of scripture before us, I want us to see the circumstances that are surrounding the passage before us. The circumstances surrounding our passage. And the first thing I want to point out as we think about the circumstances that are surrounding our passage here before us is, I want to point out that there was temptation on the horizon for these disciples, and we're going to see specifically for the Apostle Peter. And we see that in John chapter 13, verses 36 through 38, Peter said, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." So as we see here, it's Passion Week. This is Thursday of Passion Week. And tomorrow, in regards to our passage here, Jesus would be nailed to the cross. But we see here, looking at this, leading up to this point, Jesus had talked about his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And here he mentions it again as he's speaking to his disciples, and Peter asks him where he's going to go. And the Lord said, "Where I go, you cannot come yet, but you'll come afterwards." And we see here that Peter says, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Peter here swells up with pride and said, "Lord, I would die for you." But as we know, the Lord here tells him in verse number 38, he said, "You're going to deny me three times." How discouraging would that be to be told by the Lord, "You're going to deny me, Peter. You're going to deny me." And see, that's why it's so important that we read a scripture in context And that's why it's important sometimes that we read chapters back to back, because if you break chapter 13 and chapter 14 apart, you don't see this. But the end of chapter 13 and the beginning of chapter 14 are connected. You see, Jesus didn't want Peter to be discouraged, although that he knew temptation was on the horizon. And that's why he gave us the text before us. But we see that temptation was coming. Temptation was on the horizon for Peter, and we know that he would succumb to it. But not only temptation, but we also see tragedy was coming. Not only was Peter going to deny Jesus three times, but shortly thereafter, Jesus Christ would be nailed to the cross of Calvary, shed his innocent blood for my sins and for yours, and he was going to die and be buried. And we know 3 days later he rose again, but at this time the disciples were kind of blinded to that truth. So all they heard was their Lord was going to die, and that everything that they had worked for, everything that they had followed for the last 3 years was all about to go up in a puff of smoke because their Lord was about to die. So we see temptation was on the horizon. Tragedy was on the horizon. Jesus was about to die. And I want to point out as we think about those things that not only temptation and tragedy, but I want to point out that trouble is always coming for in the life of a believer. Temptation's always on the horizon for us. Tragedy very well may be on the horizon for us. Trouble is always coming in the lives of believers. The Bible says in Job chapter 14, verse 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Few days and full of trouble. As long as we're on planet Earth, we're going to have troublesome days. Just like I say all the time in the Christian life, we're either going into a storm, in one, or coming out of one. That's just the way things are. So we see the circumstances surrounding our text. Temptation was coming, tragedy was coming, and troubles are always coming in the lives of believers. But not only do we see the circumstances, but I want to point out next, when you look at these circumstances, I want to point out basically the natural consequences of those circumstances if we are left to ourselves and allow our flesh to respond and not our spirit. So as we think about the consequences, when we think about this, the first consequence I want to point out is sometimes it can cause us to be angry. Can you imagine the disciples finding out that Jesus was going to die? Everything that they had been following for three and a half years is going about, in their eyes, about to go up in a puff of smoke. And as they came into this dinner with the Lord, we see here in the passage of Scripture, as they were coming in, they're already angry with each other because they're trying to figure out who is the greatest. And then now they're told that everything that they've given their life for, at least in their eyes at this time, is about to end. It probably produced a little anger or aggravation in their hearts. And maybe in our troublesome times in our life, maybe in the time that Mountain City Baptist Church is going through, if we're not careful, it can cause us to be angry. If our mind's not where it needs to be, it could cause us to be angry. But not only can it cause us to be angry, but it can cause us also to be addled or confused, is what I mean by that. We may be wondering, what's going on? What's happening? But I thought Mountain City Baptist Church was doing what God wanted them to do. And see, that is where our mind goes if we're not thinking and doing as we should be in preparation for times like this. Maybe you're out there today and you're angry. Maybe you're out there today and you're confused. Or maybe you're out there today and I would assume a lot of people may be this way. Another consequence, it can cause us to be afraid. I can understand in these troubling times with this virus that we still don't fully understand that we could be afraid when something like this happens in our church and in our lives. Can you imagine the disciples? Everything that they worked for, the Lord that had been with them and helped them and strengthened them and taught them, he's about to die. He's about to be buried. And he will rise again, praise the Lord, on the third day, but then he will ascend up into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. He is about to leave them. And I can see naturally within their hearts, they may be afraid. I probably would be. And that's the natural consequence. But see, I thank God the Lord didn't leave us the Lord didn't leave us in that mindset. See, the Lord gave us the passage before us today so that we don't have to be angry, so that we don't have to be confused, so that we don't have to be afraid. You see, if the Lord had just told Peter, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times," and then left it there, imagine how discouraging that would have been. But Jesus wasted no time. When he told Peter, "You're going to deny me three times," his very next words, we see in chapter 14, verse number 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." I can't help but think he's talking to Peter there. He said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times." He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." See, Jesus wanted to give him encouragement, even though he knew he was going to let him down. God wants to encourage you today if you'll let him. God wants to give you hope today if you'll let him. So the scriptures we see here, we see the command. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I want to look at that command this morning. And the first thing I want to point out from this command is I want to point out we see the choice in this command. The choice. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled." You see, if we do nothing to combat the fear, the anger, the confusion, we will be all of those things, because that is our natural response. That is our natural consequence to the bad things in this life, troubles and tragedies and temptations. See, we've got to make a choice, church. If we're going to have peace and comfort and hope, even in the midst of troubled circumstances, we've got to make a choice. Let not your heart be troubled. We've got to be like, we got to do like the Lord told Joshua in Joshua 7:10. This is when they lost the battle of Ai, and Joshua was discouraged. And the Lord said, to Joshua, Joshua 7:10, "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face?" You see, Joshua could have laid there on his face and mourned, but God said, "Get thee up. Get off your face. You want to have hope? You want to have peace? In Joshua's case, you want to win the battle and get back up to doing what you got to do? Well, you got to do some things. You've got to deal with some things." You see, it's a choice, church. If you're out there and you're afraid, if you're out there and you're discouraged, if you're out there and you're angry, if you're out there and you're confused, and if you stay that way after this message this morning, that's your choice. So you have a choice here today to have hope, to have comfort, to have peace, even in the midst of this craziness we're going through. So we see in the command, we see the choice, but we also see the component. Look what it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." So the component, it says, is your heart. And what does the word heart mean? It means your mind. Let not your mind be troubled. You see, especially now, as we can't really come together that much, and a lot of us may be left to ourselves, not able to get out and speak with other believers and spend time with our friends and family. If we're left to ourselves, our mind can go crazy. But we see here, we've got to make a choice to let not our mind be troubled. So we see the component is your heart, and then we see the concern. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled." See, the concern is the troubled. I've heard it also said, "Stop letting your heart be troubled." Because that is our natural response, but we've got to make a choice to stop that, or it will continue to be so. And that word troubled means shaken or stirred. See, your heart will be shaken and stirred and moved and afraid if you don't make a choice to draw near to Jesus and to get hope and to get peace. And you may be out there today, and you say, "Well, Pastor Tyler, that's a lot easier said than done." And I agree 100% with you. That's easy. Like I always say, that's easy preaching, hard living. But I thank God the Lord didn't leave us to wander in the dark and figure it out ourselves. But throughout the rest of this passage, I want to point out this morning the course of action. How can we do this? How can we let not our heart be troubled? Well, let's look in the passage before us as we think about the course of action. The first thing I want to point out is redemption. You see, if you want to have hope and peace and joy in the midst of any circumstance, you've got to know Jesus. If you're out there today and you don't know Him, you can't have hope. You can't have peace. You cannot have true joy. You can't. Because you're in this life alone. You're an enemy of God. And until you repent of your sins and place your faith in Christ, you're going at this alone, and your only response is going to be fear, anger, confusion. But I praise God that that can change for you today. You do not have to stay that way. You see, Jesus did everything that needed to be done so that you can go to heaven, so that your sins can be forgiven, so that you can have hope and joy and peace even in the midst of this crazy time we're in right now. All you got to do is ask Him. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means anybody. That means you, if you're out there today and you don't know Jesus. The Bible tells me that you can call upon His name and He will forgive your sins because He is faithful to do what He says He will do. And maybe you're out there today and you say, "Well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. I'm beyond forgiveness." Well, the Bible, and I love this verse so much. The Bible says, "Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound." You may be a big sinner, but Jesus is a great Savior. His grace is greater than your sin. His grace can forgive every one of your sins if you'll let it. All you got to do is call on His name, and He will save your soul. And I praise His name for that, and that's the first step. You cannot have this hope we're talking about this morning. You cannot have this peace unless you know Jesus. Do you know Him? Has there been a time in your life where you've called upon His name? Or you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins and save your soul? If there hasn't, do that today. If you have any questions, reach out to me. Reach out to Pastor Daniel. I'd love to answer those questions. I would love to show you in the Bible how to be saved this morning. The first step is redemption. But not only must there be redemption, but then there must be reliance. Look at our scripture again before us. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me." So we've got to trust in Jesus. We've got to believe in Christ. We've got to, what was happening here up until this point, the disciples, the Jews had believed in God. But now Jesus is basically saying, "I am the God-man. You believed in God, believe in Me also. You trusted in God, trust in Me." And that's what we need to do today, church. We need to trust in Christ. And how can we do that? First, by clinging to His promises. In times like this, church, what we need is this book. If you want to have hope, you want to have joy, you want to have peace, even in the midst of the worst of circumstances, get into the Word of God. Cling to the promises of God. And God will always be faithful to those promises. That's why we get in the Word. And I recommend reading it front to back, or as Brother Glenn does it, chronologically, so you can see God work and see God be faithful and see God make promises and keep them. See, church, we got to cling to His promises. But not only do we need to cling to His promises, but we've got to cry out to Him. We've got to cling to His promises and cry out to Him promptly. We've got to cry out to Him promptly. That means not make Him last resort, but make Him first resort. Don't make Him our spare tire, but make Him to who we turn to first. Just like we saw Wednesday night with Hezekiah, he had trained himself through much repetition, after learning the hard way we saw in one circumstance, to make the Lord his first go-to place. So we say there must be redemption, there must be reliance through clinging upon His promises and crying out to Him promptly. But then also, and we see this very much so in our text, where there must be remembrance. There must be remembrance. You want to have hope? You want to have peace? You want to have joy? Then we've got to remember a few things. We see that in our text today. I want to point out first, we've got to remember our hope. You see, church, we have a hope. And then we see it in here in this text today. This life is not all there is for a child of God. Just like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are above all men most miserable. You see, church, we have hope past this life. This life is not it. This life is just a springboard to the rest of our eternity. We have hope. Look at our scripture. The Bible says, verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. We have a hope, church. We have a hope that when we die, and we're going to die, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That's why it's so important that we be ready for it. But if you're a child of God, when you die, we have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of eternity in heaven with our Lord forever. Forever. Not because of anything we've done. We're just sinners saved by grace, but all because of what Jesus did for you and for me. So we see there must be a remembrance of our hope, but also, and probably most importantly, we've got to remember Him. We've got to remember Jesus. Remember Him. A scripture I love about this, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:1-3, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look what it says. Looking unto Jesus. That word looking there means literally taking your eyes off of one thing and putting them on something else. And in our situation, what we need to do is take our eyes off of our troubles, off of this sickness we're dealing with as a church, off of this nasty world that we're living in, and put them on Jesus. Look what it says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look, listen at this. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. You know, Jesus suffered the cruelest punishment that has ever been sent down to anyone, and He did so innocently. But the Bible says here, He said He did so who for the joy that was set before Him. Jesus shed His blood on the cross, endured that pain and suffering like none will ever endure, and He did it with joy in His heart, for you and for me. He did it with joy in His heart. You know why? Because He knew that that suffering would be bad. But He knew after that, He knew one day a little 8-year-old boy named Tyler would cry out to Him for salvation, and He could give him the hope of heaven. And if you're saved, He knew one day you would call upon Him too. He knew that that suffering would be worth it in the end. He knew that because He knew it would result in your salvation, your redemption. He before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down to the right hand of the throne of God. And then verse number 3 of Hebrews 12 says, for consider Him that endured just such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Listen to that again. You think you're having a bad day? And a lot of people aren't feeling well right now. A lot of people are having a bad day right now. But I can assure you, we will never have as bad a day as Jesus did on the cross. Look what it says again. For consider Him. Think about Him. What did He do? It says that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Jesus did nothing wrong, but yet died the cruelest death ever. That sounds like a pretty bad day. Then it goes on to say, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Yes, we may be having a hard time, but we'll never have as hard a time as Jesus did on the cross for our sins. And you see, when you think about Him, when you think about what He's done for you, how much He loves you, how much He cares for you, how much He wants to give you joy and peace and hope today, that should change your whole perspective. You see, church, we've got to be like Peter when he was walking on the water, doing it right. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. You see, when Peter was walking on the water, there was a storm raging all around him. But as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was able to do it. And I bet it didn't even really seem like the storm was around him. And see, church, if our eyes, if we will put our eyes on him, look what the Bible says in our text again. Verse 5 and 6. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, church, we've got to think on, we got to think on him. We've got to remember our hope, but we've got to remember him if we want to have peace, joy, and hope. And I praise, one preacher said it this way in regards to the verse number 6 here. He said, there is no other way but by Jesus. There is no other truth but from Jesus. And there is no other life but in Jesus. You see, church, that's the only way we can be saved. That's the only way we can have peace. That's the only way we can have hope is in Jesus Christ. So you see there, as we think about that again, there must be redemption, reliance, and remembrance. And if we'll do those things, in conclusion, I praise God, the result will be peace. The result will be peace in this terrible situation we're living in. When, by the world standards, we shouldn't have it. When we put our eyes and our minds on him, when we remember him and we remember our hope and we cling to his promises and we call out to him promptly, he will give peace. Look what the Bible says, Isaiah 26:3. I love this scripture. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, complete peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You want to have peace, stay your mind on Jesus. Another scripture I love, Philippians 4:6-8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And one verse that we sent, that at least I seem to forget about sometimes, is verse number 8. Look what it says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And you say, well, what are those things we should think about? Well, you know, when I hear whatsoever things are true, honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue, praise, when I think of that, I think of Jesus. So you want to have this peace the Bible talks about that surpasses our understanding? Think about Jesus. Jesus is true. Jesus is honest. Jesus is just. Jesus is pure. Jesus is lovely. Jesus is of good report. Jesus is virtuous. You want to have peace? Think on Jesus. And you can have it. And I praise God for that. But it all begins with a relationship with him. Do you know him today? Are you his child? If you're not, you can't have this hope we're talking about. But if you don't, you can have it today. If you'll just call upon his name, ask him to forgive you of your sins and save your soul, he will. He did all that needs to be done. In our scripture before us today, it says, verse number 3, verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That literally means I go to make a way for you to get to heaven. You see, it says elsewhere in scriptures, Jesus says, I am the door. You see, we couldn't enter heaven except through him. We see in verse number 6. You see, that's why Jesus lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross, bearing your sins and mine, was buried and rose again 3 days later, so that we could go to heaven. Jesus did all that needs to be done. All you've got to do is ask him, and he will forgive your sins. He will save your soul. He will give you the hope of heaven, and he will give you access to the peace that surpasseth all understanding. So do you have hope today? If you don't, you can. Cling to his promises. Cry out to Him promptly. Remember our hope. And most of all, remember Him. And as you do those things, I can say with in accordance with what the Bible tells me today, you will have hope. Church family, I love you today. I'm sorry that we're going through what we're going through right now, but I want you to know that God has a purpose and a plan in it all. And you may not know this and realize, and I probably don't fully, but even in the midst of this junk, I've seen God move and God work. Church, God's doing great things. And I think on the back end of this, in the future, we may look back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for putting us through that, because it made us what we are today. Church family, I love you, okay? If you all need anything, you let me know. And I'll be praying for you. I know you'll be praying for me. I believe we're all going to be praying for each other. But you hang in there, okay? I love you. And remember, tonight I'll be doing another live stream at 6 p.m. Tonight will be live stream only. But I love you, church family. And I hope you have a good day. And I hope this message has been an encouragement to you. If you know anybody that's hurting today, that needs hope, send this message to them. Not because I'm any kind of special preacher, but because God's word has power and it can help them too. So I love y'all and I hope you have a good day. And if y'all need anything, let me know. God bless. Mm-hmm.